Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. Happy to welcome in now Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak, to the radio huddle. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. It's Tuesday. You know, I'm not outside, so that's a win.
Yeah, we'll be getting outside soon enough, though, so we'll see if that Thursday practice for organized team activities that the media gets to see is in the indoor facility or if we're going to be sweating that afternoon. Either way.
Yeah, I think it is a good opportunity to learn just how committed Kellen Moore is to embracing the elements, because it's easy to say it, you know, especially, you know, coming from Philadelphia, and then you get down here and the humidity really hits like it did this week, and, you know, that changes some things.
We've been, Cullen and I have been talking about your way too early Saints 53-man roster projections that folks can check out at WWL.com. I know we also did a bunch of that on the Inside Black and Gold podcast today, which folks can check out as well. Looking at the offense first, the quarterback position I think is fairly easy as of right now. I know you entered this with the caveat of how you look at this roster projection as of right now. We're not predicting what can happen in the future. That was looking like a guy with Deckers who could end up maybe supplanting someone like Jake Haener down the road. But as of right now, it's Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, and Jake Haener as your three quarterbacks on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think things got more complicated when Derek Carr retired, but in this sense, it got a lot less complicated in that you're no longer asking, okay, are you going to supplant a veteran for a rookie for a young player? You're going to be starting a young player. It's just a question of who. I think when it comes down to it, it's going to be Tyler Shuck versus Spencer Rattler. Maybe Jake Haener has a say in this, but until I see it, I won't believe it. That said, I do think you're going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. And, you know, we'll see how things shake out with Hunter Deckers. At this point, he feels like the developmental prospect. And I feel like you have a pretty solid core group of three young guys who you can at least kind of let build and develop together. So, I mean, that just makes sense to me.
Going down the list, Jeff, next up, you have the running back fullback position. You only have three this year, naming Kamara, Kendre Miller, and Devin Neal. I have to ask, because anybody's looking at this list is going to say the same thing. Why is Kendre Miller in that number?
Yeah, well, so it's only three in part because the Saints don't have a fullback on the roster right now. So, you know, that's a position that they appear that they're going to forego for the first time in a while. So that does chop this number down a little bit. As far as Kendre, you know, at this point, I'm kind of going based on talent right now. I haven't seen Marcus Jarns out there. Haven't seen Devin Neal out there. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still here. Xavier Valade is still here. Jordan Mims was waived. But at this point right now, you look at that list, and other than Alvin Kamara, there's no question who the second most talented player is on that list, and it's Kendre Miller. His issue has been health and staying on the field. So, you know, I'm going to believe he's the guy until he shows me he's not. And that's going to be something that we're honestly not even going to learn during OTAs. We're going to learn during training camp whether he can stay on the field. Because if he can't, if he shows that he can't do that, then, yeah, you do start to look further down that list. And maybe a Marcus Jarns comes into play. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire becomes that guy. At this point, you're still talking about a third-round pick from 2 years ago that you're really hoping can make an impact. And so you're going to give him opportunities to do that. Alvin Kamara is 29 years old, going to be 30. Like, you do need to start developing guys behind him. And while things have gone very poorly for Kendre Miller to this point, there's still going to be people hoping that he can succeed. So, you know, I this is more of an optimistic take from me than anything we have seen in reality. Hopefully a new system, a new coaching staff, a new regime can lead to positive things. Because there's no question, when he's been on the field, he has been a good football player. The talent is there.
You know, you mentioned right there the fullback position, which is, you know, a little odd not seeing one on this roster. Do you think that's something maybe down the line the Saints end up adding, maybe not during organized team activities, but sometime during training camp?
It's possible. I mean, the Eagles did roster a fullback for part of the season last year. Wouldn't be surprised if it's a guy, if you just stash somebody on the practice squad once the season starts.
Right.
That said, I think the way Kellen Moore wants to operate his offense is more of with an H-back from the tight end position. A guy like Jack Stoll would make a lot of sense. I have five tight ends on this roster projection, in part because I kind of view Jack Stoll as an H-back more so than just the receiving tight end. But it's really, I mean, you're doing the same thing. Someone's got to be a blocker, right? So as long as you have a blocker, it really doesn't matter whether you call him a fullback or an H-back. It's a question of whether the guy you throw out there is a good blocker. And frankly, I just don't know what they've gotten out of the fullback position over the last few years. Anyway, you've kept him on the roster, but it's kind of been like a void of production. Whereas I'd almost rather have a guy whose skill set involves pass catching a little bit more than what you've had, because there were situations last year where all you needed was Adam Prentice to make an easy catch. You couldn't do it, you know? And so I don't know. I don't think they're going to be committed to the fullback position the way they have been in the past.
You brought up a little there, the tight end position, Jeff, and looking at here, five tight ends you got on the roster: Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau, Taysom Hill, Jack Stoll, and the rookie Maliki Mataveo. Cut Dallin Holker, Michael Jacobson, and Trayton Welch. If you're not familiar with Welch, was someone that was on the practice squad a year ago with this team. I think pretty straightforward there, other than the fact that we don't really know what the future lies for a Taysom Hill right now.
Yeah, Taysom Hill is really just a big question mark at this point, both in terms of health and in terms of how the Saints plan to use him if and when he gets back healthy. I'm a little kind of on the fence about whether when he is back, if he will have a big role in this offense, because I just don't know how much you're going to invest in him in terms of, you know, it's not a position that you can just replace, right? So you're not going to just incorporate a lot of this playbook into the offense when he's not there to run it. And he's on the final year of his contract. He's going to be 35 years old. You're probably not going to extend him. So how much is it worth for that one season? We'll have to find out. But at this point, he's still on the roster. It's just a question of when he's going to be back, when he's going to be available, and what their plan is for him.
Another one, too, Foster Moreau. How much do we know about how he's recovering from his injury? I know when you leave the field in an air cast, it's never a good thing, and I believe he did have surgery.
He has been, you know, he's been around the facility. He's been working. He's going to be someone we have to watch, too. You know, I don't know just how significant his injury was,
yeah,
and what his timeline is going to be. Taysom Hill's was far more severe. Granted, it happened a few weeks earlier in the season, so we had a bit of a head start. But I expect Foster to be ahead of Taysom Hill's timeline somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about two players with injuries that you're going to have to navigate.
I mean, moving on to the next group of pass catchers who are going to be pretty important to figuring out who we're going with at QB. You've got six wide receivers this year: Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks, Cedric Wilson, Bud Means, and Dante Pettis. You're cutting Moochie Dixon, Mason Tipton, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Chris Tyree, and Kevin Austin Jr. Tell me, Jeff, why are you rocking with those six?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty simple at the top, right? I mean, there's no question Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Brandon Cooks are the guys. You know, regardless of who you keep at the wide receiver position, the success or failure at this position is going to be with the success or failure of those three names. Beyond that, you know, I think Cedric Wilson is a guy that going into this offseason I was not expecting to come back. And then with the hire of Kellen Moore, it became a no-brainer that he would be coming back. And then to the point that I think he's probably pretty safe on this roster as long as he goes out and performs, because he's a player that spent multiple seasons with Kellen Moore in Dallas, actually had his best season with Kellen in Dallas. Probably doesn't hurt that he's also a former Boise State Bronco. So that just makes sense to me. Dante Pettis, I think, you know, you look at Rashid Shaheed and you see a player that is very productive on offense, also has a really strong special team skill set, but just how much of a workload are you going to put on him from a special teams perspective? I think you have to. I think you want to try to take one of the two return units off of his hands. And Dante Pettis would allow you to do that. I think you want to keep Rashid as a returner. I think that's where he's the most – I mean, as a punt returner, that's where he's the most dynamic. So, you know, anytime you're talking about the sixth wide receiver on a depth chart, got to be a special teams contributor in some way, shape, or form, because he's just not going to get on the field that often when everyone's healthy. And then, you know, there's some question. I have Bud Means up there right now, just he's going into year two, and he was a draft pick last year. But that could go any way. I think you need that spot, that receiver spot, to be kind of a big-bodied guy who can get out there on block, who can contribute on special teams. So whether you want to say that's Bud Means, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Kevin Austin Jr., they all kind of do the same thing in that regard. Mason Tipton's a weird one, because I feel like Mason Tipton, last year he was the camp darling. He got the amount of opportunities throughout the course last year that UDFAs come into the league dreaming about. He got so many chances to make an impact, and he just didn't. And so I just don't think that tape's going to do him much good this year. He's going to have to go out there and do it again, all while knowing he did get those chances and didn't deliver on them. So he's on the cut line for me right now, and it's the other guys on top.
What we're talking about here on WWL is Jeff's Way Too Early Saints 53-man roster projections. You can check it out or follow us along right now at WWL.com. If you'd like, and looking at the offensive line, Jeff, I'm surprised here to see, you know, you're right, the trenches where I have the least amount of confidence in being right on these projections, at least outside of the starters. Just curious why you say that. We have Fuaga, Banks Jr., McCoy, Ruiz, Trevor Penning as the starters, along with Landon Young, Raidens, Will Clapp, and Nick Saldiveri as the reserves. I think that's really spot on. You nailed it there.
Yeah, I'm talking both sides of the ball when I say that. And I just think there's just a lot of big bodies in there that you're going to have to sort out. You know, it is a pretty simple top nine on the offensive line. I went with experience over upside. We'll see if this new offensive staff agrees with that.
Yeah.
The reason I went with Young, Raidens, Clapp, Saldiveri is because you're talking about guys with, you know, 70 games of starting experience in the NFL, right? So, you know, that's what I want to have behind a young offensive line group. You know, the bigger question on the offensive line is, where do you put those five starters? Do you have Kelvin Banks stay at tackle? Do you move Trevor Penning into guard? Do you maybe, you know, have Trevor Penning compete at guard with Dylan Raidens and see, you know, because there's no guarantee. Like, everyone wants to say, move Trevor Penning to guard. What if he's not as good of a guard as your backup? You know, like, that's the thing a lot of people don't think about. What if Trevor Penning is a better right tackle option right now than Kelvin Banks would be, knowing he's never played right tackle in his career? So, I mean, that's probably the bigger question. However you want to sort it out behind them, you can make an argument for that. At this point, I just, you know, this is just a position where I want the, you know, as skins on the wall, as Bobby would put it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying now, because, you know, you mentioned the trenches where you have the least amount of confidence. Looking at the defensive line, we're going to the defensive side of the ball now, and man, oh man, it just a litany of names here. And it's really hard to figure out when you look at everyone, maybe not the starters as much, but for depth purposes, this team is really stocked with a bunch of guys that things need to be sorted out. And we'll see how, you know, things go under new defensive coordinator Brandon Staley.
Yeah, it's weird because you're now talking about center or nose tackle, I should say, defensive end, which is a 3-4 defensive end, which is basically defensive tackle, then outside linebacker. It's all kind of lumped into one position. And, you know, each side of outside linebacker, you have a strong side outside linebacker, a weak side outside linebacker. You know, it's all very different and complicated. But, you know, there's 17 names on the defensive line right now. That's a ton of names. I have them keeping 10. And even then, I don't know. You know, I have them cutting Nathan Shepard. I have them cutting John Ridgeway, Christian Boyd, Chris Rumpf, who they just signed, who knows Brandon Staley, just to keep the draft picks. You know, just to keep Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan, Chase Young. I have them keeping Brian Brzee, obviously, Vernon Broughton, Devon Godshaw, Colin Saunders, Isaiah Foskey, Jonah Williams. So, like, you could swap a lot of these names out, and it would still make sense to me. I just think the biggest question I have is Foskey. How committed is this team going to be to Isaiah Foskey? Yes, he was a second-round pick, but it was a completely different defense. You know, he's obviously a special teams contributor. How's that going to work? But yeah, the defensive line, of all the positions on this list where, you know, there's some debate over how things are going to play out with the players you keep, this is the position where I feel like, you know, you could throw four different names in here and be right at the end. It's just going to be a question of how they perform.
Jeff, jumping down to safety, we're going to skip cornerback and linebacker for the time being. You guys can find those at WWL.com. And as always, you guys broke it down earlier today on Inside Black and Gold. You have Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Reed, Jonas Senker, and JT Gray. You're cutting loose Amadi Howden, Terrell Burgess, and Elliot Davison. What's the reasoning there?
Yeah, so, I mean, usually I'll try to keep between 9 and 10 defensive backs split between safety and cornerback. I'm going with 9 right now, and I'm keeping the extra DB, which is a special teams DB, as a cornerback, which is Rico Payton. So, you know, with that in mind, I'm only keeping 4 safeties. One of them is JT Gray, who obviously is your special teams ace. He's not going anywhere. Jonas Senker is a third-round pick. He's not going anywhere. And then your starters are Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Reed, and they're pretty entrenched. I think you're going to, you know, there's going to be the nickel corner question, the star position, as Brandon Staley calls it. And I think that's going to be Alante Taylor. So I don't need to worry about keeping his safety with an eye on playing that position. So I think 4 is plenty. In this scheme, maybe you keep another guy. I think you probably throw an Ugo Amadi onto the practice squad. Jordan Howden is the biggest name on the cut line in terms of, you know, he was a 5th-round pick 2 years ago. Just haven't seen the development out of him that I would have liked to last year. He could certainly go out there and earn it. But right now those numbers make sense to me.
Yeah, and that was the question I think a lot of people are going to have is Howden specifically. I was kind of surprised that you went with Amadi. If you're going to add that 5th, it would be him over Howden. But you say it cleanly in the article, Howden has to show significant growth this offseason to avoid the cut line because the 4 names at the top are locks, and I fully agree with you. And then closing things out with the specialists, you're breaking tradition here is what you say. Tell me about it.
Yeah, usually I'll go with the incumbents, especially at the kicker position. They're the punter and kicker position, just because they have a track record and the guy you're bringing in, you know, doesn't in most cases, especially when you're going with a rookie. In this case, I actually do think the rookie punter is going to be the favorite. Just because I think James Burnett has a skill set that Matt Haball is going to have a hard time matching. I wasn't particularly impressed with Matt as a rookie. I thought he was fine. He had a lot of kicks inside the 20. But he didn't have a lot of kicks inside the 10, which is what I really want. Like, if you're not going to have a field-flipping leg, I need you to pin teams back. He just didn't do that as often as I thought he could with the opportunities he had. You know, way too many kicks to the 18. I need those kicks to be to the 8 for them to impact the other team significantly, and they just weren't there. So I'm going with Burnett. We'll see. It's going to be a competition for him. It's also going to be a really interesting competition between Charlie Smith and Blake Groupe. And I think we're going to land in the same area we did last year, where I think it's entirely possible Charlie Smith makes a 70-yard field goal in practice. The problem is, you're not kicking a 70-yard field goal in a game. You're probably not even attempting a 60-plus-yard field goal unless you're in an end-of-half or an end-of-game scenario, and that might happen once a season, right? You know, you can't bank on it. So, to me, I think it's going to come down to, okay, can Charlie Smith be consistent enough inside of 60 to really definitively show that he's a better option to keep than Blake Groupe, a guy who made 6 50-plus-yard kicks last year, which is the most in Saints franchise history. I like Blake Groupe. I think Blake Groupe gets overlooked, but you know he's going to come back. He's going to make a ton of kicks in training camp. I think he's going to be the more consistent player. But those kicking competitions are fun, especially the place kicking competitions, because you can keep score, and it's really easy to tell who's ahead and who's behind. But that's what I have right now. I think they're going to end up with a rookie punter for the third consecutive year. And it's worth mentioning that Phil Galliano, who is the new special teams coordinator, has been with the Saints for the last several years. He was the interim special teams coordinator last year when Darren Rizzi took over the head coaching job. So he's not going to have – he shouldn't have reservations about going with a rookie punter. He's watched it happen 2 years in a row. So I think if those kind of those things kind of coalesce into – I'd be surprised if you don't see a rookie punter for the third straight year.
Yeah, and Jeff, I'm looking forward to seeing the rookie out there punting, just because 6'6", 235, anybody returning those punts, you don't think you're going to get back past that punter too easily if he catches you.
We'll see. I still don't think you want your punter making tackles. That's a bad result. But if it ever came down to it, I said the same thing about Lou Hadley. He never made a tackle. So, hey, you know, it is what it is.
Jeff, awesome stuff. You can check out his full list of the Way Too Early Saints 53-man roster projections over at WWL.com as we get ready for the media viewing portion of organized team activities, which start on Thursday for us. Jeff, awesome stuff, man. Thanks so much for your time tonight.
For sure. I'll take it easy.
Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, WWL's digital content producer, joining us. Like I mentioned, OTA's going on right now for the Black and Gold. Fully voluntary workouts for the next 3 weeks. And it'll be every Thursday that the media gets to go out and check things out before heading into the weekend. So a nice taste of some NFL action before mandatory minicamp begins in June.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere.
Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.